this podcast episode, and we are super excited to have a guest here with us today. I can call you my womb healer.
Yay.
Lauren Megan. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me, Sarah and Simba. I really am honored to be here, and I'm really excited about the conversation that is about to unfold.
Yeah, me too. Would you like to give a short introduction of yourself before we jump into today's topic?
Sure. Yeah. So as Sarah said, my name is Lauren. I'm a womb healer. I am also a feminine embodiment and leadership coach. So I think my medicine is really working with women to connect to their womb, their yoni, the roots of their heart, and having that express into their divine mission, their purpose, and supporting them and creating safety within themselves so that they can lead these lives that are impactful and wealthy, abundant, and really pleasurable and turned on. I went through a journey with myself where I just felt so disconnected from my body. And when I was pregnant with my daughter, she's now 4, I made a really conscious choice to have a baby out of hospital and to trust my body and to trust the wisdom of my womb without having a language for it. It was just something that I knew I was meant to journey on that path. And I ended up starting my company while I was 6 months pregnant with her. So it was like this really big portal of awakening and like stepping into my mission here, and being a mother is like, it just exploded everything for me. So I, essentially went on this journey of self-healing and understanding my trauma. I got a certification. I'm actually a few certifications in somatic trauma healing and understanding the generational trauma within the body, how to create safety within myself. And then that expanded out to supporting clients and healing clients. And there was a parallel with that because I was so interested in energy work and like quantum healing. So I received my Reiki mastery and just like started to like really understand my intuitive gifts and my role as a healer. And I think combining those two created this bridge, and I found the bridge when I really started to like access the womb. So I think this work for me is like really being able to bridge spirit and bridge the body and show women that that portal is in the womb, and through that portal we can co-create anything that we desire. And I think that we're in a time in history, and we've spoken about this so much, Sarah, like we are in a time in history where the divine feminine truly is rising, where women are reclaiming their power, and their power comes from their body. Mm-hmm. And we're reclaiming our right to not only be embodied, but to be wealthy and to have purpose and to essentially heal the planet, which sounds like a really big mission, but I feel like we all are like little drops in the ocean, and it creates this really big ripple that is going to shift the world.
I get emotional.
Yeah.
it's really powerful to get together with other women who have the same mission.
Yeah.
And we mentioned just before we started recording that me and Simba were doing we're rebranding Living with the Spirit, like both energetically, but also the colors and the brand intensive.
Like the whole vision of it is rebirthing.
Yes, everything is rebirthing. And we will be much more clear what we want to do and who we want to work with. And we decided that we do want to work with women who wants to be the teachers and the leaders of the new world and create the new world. And it's really powerful to hear you talk about this. We talk a lot about the freedom that we want to women to have. And we really feel like the women is rising, and that they're going to do the dirty work in the... like do the healing, do the work, and help each other. That's what I feel.
Yeah,
that women coming together and healing each other, and supporting each other. And that's really what I found in the network when I found you, like women helping each other to rise. And that's it's super powerful when we come together.
Yeah, I love that. And I love this mission because, you know, what it really is, it's like this web of women. And this is how I see like the consciousness of the womb is it's this web of consciousness that we're awakening to. So each woman, again, has their role and their part and their expression, like that flavor in which they bring this work out into the world. And the womb is just like this conscious energy that we're connecting to. It's like this collective space, and everything gets birthed from the womb. There's no life, there's no seed, there's no creation without the womb. So I like so deeply believe in the mission, and I so deeply believe that women connected to their bodies, women connected to their wombs, I mean, they just literally become unstoppable. And we are in this time, and I think that this is why this work is being asked of the feminine, is because, you know, when we dive into the mysteries of the feminine and like this archetypal typical feminine, it's like she is willing, her innate ability is to go into the darkness and to go into the shadows and to get her hands dirty. So we're finding a lot of women right now that they're so willing. They're like, just rip me open, let me heal, like clear out all the muck, all of this stuck energy, clear it out of me so I can be this vessel and I can just like be this channel of light and, you know, consciousness and love. And, you know, we need men, like we've talked about this so much, like we need the masculine support. And also, like, it's time. Like, it's time for the women to rise. We've been shut down for centuries. And we feel that. Like, we feel that ripple in our womb when we connect to it. We feel the pain of women. We feel the pain of our mothers and our grandmothers and, you know, the generational maternal line that's so deeply etched within, you know, the wells of our womb space. So this work is, like, really big. The vision's like bigger though. The vision's bigger than like, okay, I got to go into the trauma, I got to heal. It's like when we can hold both, when we can hold the vision of what we're meant to create, and we can hold ourselves in like the depths of healing and like being able to be raw and like be in that descent of the darkness, of the void, then like we just rise. We have nowhere else to go but to root down deep and like rise up. And, you know, I do have a daughter. So for me, it's not an option. Like there's no other way to go, you know, and she's been, I love bringing her into this work. And I had a session actually when I was in Sedona after a retreat I did with a woman, and her mission is to support the healers. And she did like shamanic work, and I had just done big work with a bunch of women in ceremonies. So I had picked up on a lot of their energy, and she released that. And she brought in my daughter's spirit, and she's just like, you're doing this for her. Like she needs you to do this work. So it's like, it's so big and beautiful, and it does, it makes me emotional. It's like this is what's needed right now, you know.
Yeah, but I feel it's so cool because the women that I work with, that they're just ready to go. And I love how you explained it, like just rip me open and allow me to heal, because there's no other way to go. And I just feel like you said, you talk about you know, holding both the mission of the world and the healing for yourself and past generations. for the mind, that would feel overwhelming. But for me, for myself and what I see in other women, there's just this sense of clarity. It's just the way it is. And they go, okay. You know, when they come and say, wow, I feel so bad. Like the trauma is just, it feels like it's beyond. They go like, why, how, where does this come from? I can't put it together with what I've been experiencing. because it doesn't relate. It's not, I feel worse than whatever would have happened to me. And then I explain that it's generational. It's all of it. And then they go, oh, okay. You know, they don't go like, this is too much. Or they go like, all right, I get it. It's just, they just resonate. It's like, ah. Yeah. And they understand that by going through the depths of it all themselves, they lead the way. They kind of, by doing that, they light the torch in the darkness. They light their own torch and they walk, and then the rest will follow.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, we're healing for the women, for our ancestors that came before us, and we're healing for the children to come. And, you know, we store up to 7 generations worth of trauma in our womb. So a lot of times it's like, I'll actually get to this first, because this is like where the nervous system and the body comes into play, because the mind can't comprehend where you're going, especially if it's never been there. There's like a very narrow lens in which the mind can comprehend. So if the mind's trying to comprehend like this big experience and this big vision and this mission, and also trying to comprehend like the trauma, it's going to get stuck in these loops of stories. And like, that's really where people get stuck, and they usually stay in a victim mindset. And I say that with like a lot of love and compassion. I think we've all had to move through that space. It's part of the healing journey. Mm. But what I found is, you know, the bodies where we're able to kind of, that's where we expand our capacity. We could expand our capacity to hold both this mission, the vision, our personal desires, like our wants and our needs and our desires. And also that duality of like, okay, I can like have that vision that I'm holding, and also there's work to be done. And also I'm experiencing, you know, the trauma of my mother, the trauma of my grandmother, the trauma of all these women that I don't even know. I mean, I've connected through this work to my great grandmother. Like and she lived in Cuba. I never met her. She died at the age of 93, and come to find out her name is Rose. My whole branding is Rose. I teach the Rose Mystery School, like, and it's just like, so I've channeled in, I've connected through the womb these women. And what's fascinating is when we connect to our ancestors in this way, we don't just see their trauma, like we actually see the gold of who they are, the true essence of the women that they were meant to be. And to me, I feel like I have like this support team of the ancestors and women behind me that are holding me and cheering me on and just, you know, kind of like driving this forward and saying like, this is the path, you've been chosen, you're the chosen one. And I've definitely had moments of like, I don't want to be the chosen one. I don't want to be the one to heal this, you know, because it is intense at times. You have to like uncover so much. And, you know, my mother is a Cuban immigrant. She came from communist Cuba. My grandfather fought in the Cuban Revolution. They came at a time where, you know, communism was taking over, where freedom was literally stripped from them, and their safety and their survival was everything. So for me personally, the stories etched within my womb space are the stories of survival and safety and not feeling safe to, you know, have a home, not feeling safe to land someplace. So it's like we get to like, you know, access that, and I get to say, okay, those are the stories that they walked, and I'm going to choose to heal and to start a new path so that I can experience freedom and I can experience, you know, abundance, and I can know what it's like to hold that within my body and within my system. And I think for women, it's like we're trying to rewrite these stories in a very like masculine way, which is the mind is very masculine, analytical, logical, beautiful. Thank you. You build society, like you build civilizations, like you build so much. We need that. But the feminine is like, it's such a felt experience. She just like, she's craving to feel. And what I've noticed with so many women that I've worked with is like, there's a fear feeling. There's a fear that if I go too deep, I can't get out of it, or if I go too deep, it's going to be too much. And what's fascinating is like the body will naturally alchemize whatever that feeling is. And we're with it, we be with it, we love it, we show compassion, we give it what it needs. And it's like the body just kind of does its thing and releases it. And like, there you go, there's the gold, there's the spaciousness, there's the ease that you've been craving. And then the mind will slowly start to come on board and say, okay, this is our new set point. This is how we get to operate. This is how we get to move. And so I feel like we're kind of like doing, like when I first got into personal development, I was like, everything's in the mind, the mind. And then I was like, well, it can't be all in the mind because I still like feel really shitty. Like I still don't feel good. And then I started to like go into the body and then deeper into the womb. I was like, oh, this all makes sense, you know? Yeah.
So what if we talk about, so we talk about abundance and wealth and how that's connected to freedom and the more like the liberation of the woman into like through the womb into abundance. And I mean, abundance is so much more, but we also talk about the nervous system and the connection. How do you see the connection between the womb, the nervous system, and the abundance, and or more specifically, the money frequency? How do you view
Yeah.
that connection?
Okay, so let's talk about the womb and the nervous system first, because the womb, it holds these stories, and we know that the nervous system essentially operates based on experience. So your nervous system is always going to be operating based on the experiences that it knows, and it's going to respond to those experiences, and it's going to respond in a way to keep you safe. So that's how we have those, you know, mechanisms of fight or flight, freeze, right, shut down, whatever it is. So what's fascinating is that the cervix of a woman is directly correlated to the vagus nerve. So we work a lot with just like the vagus nerve within itself and like calming the vagus nerve. But what's interesting is that most women haven't taken the opportunity to actually explore their cervix. And what I mean by exploring their cervix is either visualizing going down into the cervix and seeing which is the darkest part of the female body, or physically touching the cervix. So I like to take my clients into hands-on practices when they're ready, when we've created enough safety for them to actually explore the cervix so that they can begin to soften, which then begins to de-armor the vagus nerve so that the vagus nerve isn't constantly moving in a state of fight or flight. So there's a somatic connection there, right? And we can also see this with in childbirth. This is a beautiful example. In childbirth, and this kind of connects to like the yoni opening and the throats, but when a woman is opening up her cervix and she's opening up her yoni in order to prepare for the baby to go through the birth canal, she oftentimes is softening her throat in the same regard. So the throat's opening, she's, you know, making pretty like primal noises, she's breathing, like she's rooting down deep to have this baby be birthed out. So there's a direct connection there as well. So we have that somatic experience between the vagus nerve, the cervix, and the yoni, the womb as a whole. And what happens when it comes to wealth and abundance, again, we're talking about safety. Money is directly correlated to safety. It is a resource on this planet that provides us goods and, you know, the means to be able to feed ourselves, nourish ourselves, support ourselves. And if we don't have the template, that money is actually number one, neutral, and it's just this energy, it's a currency. But if we have this template that's programmed in us from a pretty young age that money's evil, money's bad, money's hard to get, money only comes to people that are worthy enough, that are smart enough, that are successful enough. Like there's all these stories that tie into money. Like money has to be one of the edgiest things for people to heal. I mean, it comes up over and over again because it stimulates that fight or flight within the body. So we have this resource of money that's like triggering safety within the system. I mean, like, there's never enough, or if I have too much, I gotta give it away, like whatever those patterns are, right? And money is also directly related to this energetic of giving and receiving. And we can see that in the heart space, because the heart's natural energy is giving and receiving love, right? Giving and receiving gratitude, giving and receiving compassion. We know through doing somatic work, like when someone's heart's closed off, they tend to not be able to receive love, or they tend to not be able to, you know, receive other people or themselves, closed off, they're angry, all of these things. When we go into the womb and the yoni, we see it even deeper. So we see women, and we can tell through intimacy when a woman shuts down, right? So she clenches, she gets really tight, she, you know, isn't able to soften with her partner or with herself. We also see it on the flip side, where women have been overly stimulated when it comes to the yoni. So they're, you know, in hyper arousal. So it's like that constant, like, getting, like, just give me more, 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 more. And that correlates. It's like such a direct mirror when it comes to money, where we see it in like hustle culture and overdoing and burnout and all of these things. So at, like, the way that I see it is, whatever's happening in the womb, whichever is happening in the yoni, is probably being direct, like, mirrored out into your money stories and your money patterns and abundance. Okay, so that's one aspect. I'm gonna like layer this for a moment, because it's a big conversation. Yeah. And stop me and ask questions. Okay, so then the other aspect is, we have the giving and the receiving. We have money. Okay, hold on, I lost it for a moment. Okay. So we have this safety piece, and we were talking about this with the masculine and the feminine energetics. And one thing that's been coming through like pretty loudly is this energy of money is directly, because it's related to survival, because it tends to be related to resources and support and having us feel safe, right? If we're in overflow, it's so much easier to feel safe than if we're living paycheck to paycheck, or, you know, essentially fighting to survive. So women that have had sexual trauma, or women that have had, you know, dominance, any like masculine figure that asserts authority in any way that is aggressive, overbearing, or dominant, we create a natural distrust with the masculine. So there's a distrust that money is going to come in. When money leaves, it comes back. And the reason why I can say this and actually just pull in my personal experiences, I was raised by a father that was very authoritative. He was very aggressive. And I would say, you know, I don't like to throw this out there, but I would say has very intense narcissistic traits and personality. He was abused as a child. That trauma never healed. So it showed up in the way that he parented us. And for me, being a little girl, I was terrified of men for the longest time. When I was younger, and I can like reflect back and notice that when I was younger, if I was at a friend's house and her father walked in the door, I would shut down. Because I didn't know, even if that was a safe man, I didn't know how I was going to be met, because I was raised in this household with a masculine, overbearing father that his moods were hot and cold. There was never an expectation of how it's going to be met. And I essentially just learned to shut down and hide and not be in my power. This is a story of so many women. This is not just my story. This is the story of women in their wombs. This is the story that we're healing when it comes to wealth and abundance. And the reason why this is the story of so many women is because the systems at play have been very masculine. The systems of the world as we know it right now, and I think the timelines are shifting, we're shifting into a new paradigm, but the systems of the world have always shut women down. So there's an innate distrust. So even if it wasn't a physical reality in your experience, the systems within itself are set up so that we don't trust men. So having someone like Simba, having someone like my husband, like having these men that can kind of come in and create safety and support and witnessing is so healing just to our nervous system. just to ourselves as a whole. So if money is masculine, then it's the feminine's job, and that's the receptive energy. It's the feminine's role then to learn how to soften and to trust again and to feel safe with the presence of the masculine. And I'll even say this too, you know, I was raised Catholic, so that like God-fearing energy, very masculine. So there's like all these roles that play that tell us like the man is to fear, the masculine is to fear. So it's almost as though like we look at money and we see it as like this power source of money's out here, and money holds power because without money, I'm nothing, right? Without money, I can't pay my bills. I can't survive. I always have to work for money. I have to like hustle for money. I have to do things in order to get the love of money. Mm. It shows up in relationships. It shows up in intimacy and sexual dynamics and all of these different ways. And A, it's an illusion. That's not the truth, because money is just an energy and it's a frequency and it just naturally likes to flow. And also, we're women with wombs. We're naturally designed to receive. Our nature is to receive. The clitoris within itself has over 3,000 nerve endings. It's designed to be in pleasure. The feminine yoni within itself is meant to be soft and opened and blossom like a rose, right? It's just meant to unfold and open and blossom, and it's meant to receive. It's designed to receive. And because of these systems, it's like we're so clenched up. So when I work with women, I do hands-on work with them. I can feel that. I can feel the tension within their fascia, within, you know, their bodies. I can feel them holding and clenching and unable to surrender and soften. And that's the dynamic that we have to work with when it comes to wealth and creating money for ourselves and saying, I don't have to like beg and plead and like, you know, like work for money or like manipulate or, you know, do all these things for money. Like I just have to soften and surrender and trust and submit myself, not in like an over dominance way, but like in a submission of like how we submit to the light of like the divine of like, I just submit to you. I know you love me. I know that you're here to protect me. You're here to be, you know, a support for me and a means of safety for me. And I trust you in that. That's the energy that we have to cultivate when we're working with the womb and with money and wealth. Does that answer the question?
It does. I love it. I can just listen to you for hours. Thank you so much. Simba, how about we invite you in?
No, it's very, very wonderful to hear. And I really like, you know, the way you were talking about the nervous system too. You know, it's experiential system, right? The experiences you have is what will be reenacted. So I was thinking a question in the line of safety, you know, as a man, if you're in a relationship, either married or boyfriend or whatever the dynamic is, but you're in a romantic relationship, what do you say? What could a man do to support that journey? Because maybe you don't even realize it, right? Being a man, maybe you don't even realize how all of these things feel, or you don't have a conception of it. How can you support a woman if you're hearing this and you're like, maybe I can do something about this. And maybe a guy will watch this and get a aha moment and wants to work with it.
Yeah. So I love this question. Thank you. Because I want it to be so clear for men that your role is not to come in and fix your feminine partner. Your role is to just simply create presence and understanding, and depending on the essence in which the feminine is like moving through, it's really important for her to feel safe in the fullness of her expression. So when the feminine's healing, she tends to get a bit wild in her expression, which means there's a range of emotions. There's sadness, there's rage, there's anger, there's grief, there's ecstatic energy, there's, you know, ecstasy, there's joy and bliss like the feminine feels at all, right? So I think for the masculine, the biggest thing that you can do is just be an anchor and just be present and just, you know, witness your partner, witness your beloved with that presence and with that deep understanding and compassion of, I'm here for your unraveling and I'm here to hold you when you need me to hold you. And, you know, my husband and I, we actually took a year apart in the midst of like my deep healing. And when we got back together, we went to couples therapy and he worked with a coach and we just kind of, and, you know, we've been together since I'm 33. So we got together when I was 20. We've been together for quite some time. We went through our 20s together. Mm-hmm. We've been through a lot of experiences, many spiritual awakenings, many tough moments. So when my daughter was 2, we separated for about a year. And there's 2 things that happened. One is that I got really clear in that year what I needed from the masculine and what I craved in a partner. And I didn't know if that would be him or someone else. I also think that it's the responsibility of the feminine to understand herself and her body and what she's needing. And he said something to me when we separated. He said, I know your body better than you do. You need to learn your body. And I took that and it, you know, I love him so much because he is the most honest person with me, with so much love and respect and compassion. But he said that, and I essentially ran with it. And I took a whole year to learn my body. And this is like when I really stepped into the womb work and the yoni work, and it literally created the work that I do now. And when we got back together, I got so clear on what I needed from him and the type of man that I needed to hold me as I continue to unravel and step into my power and my journey. So that helps a lot. We can't like put everything on men. They don't read our minds. They cannot read our minds. We have to be so clear with our needs. We can't play games. I teach a lot about like the wounded feminine and the matriarchal feminine, that healed embodied feminine. The maiden, the wounded feminine will play a lot of games and like these guessing games, and men just need clarity. We have to respect, I think, as women, we have to respect the masculine analytical mind and just that drive and direction. The masculine's naturally going to want to come in and be like, how can I fix you? How can I help you? Right. And like problem solve. So great. Thank you. We need that. Not when it comes to this work, right? We just need the holding and just, I see you. What is it that you need from me? How can I support you? So that was one big thing. And then the second thing is I think with the masculine is, you know, you have to like be willing to kind of go on your own journey as well and like find your essence of the masculine, like find your essence of what presence and safety and discipline and devotion means for you. So that was a big thing in our relationship. And I think something that healed is I kind of stopped showing up. I mean, like, well, I'm doing this healing work and I'm on this. And I just like honored his path in the purest way. And it allowed him to kind of show up. It allowed me to trust him more and just like to show up and to present himself to me in ways that I actually desired. So that was another big thing that felt really supportive and safe. And it's interesting because although my father was so like hot and cold with emotions, I'm quite surprised. Like I am grateful and just like kind of an honor to have a partner now that's just like steady. It just feels really steady. And I think that that's an important thing is like the masculine tends to just be really steady. Whereas, and there's aspects of the feminine within a masculine man, but for the most part, they're pretty steady. And that creates a lot of safety too. Like it creates a lot of safety for us to know, like we know what to expect in a way. So we're like, okay, I know that, you know, this is who I can expect as a partner instead of like wondering who you're going to get, especially because the feminine, when she's healing, she is like, so wild. You know, crying one day, laughing the next, And we also, we're cyclical. So like women, men run on a 24 hour cycle, women run on a 28 day cycle. So literally every single week, we're just like a new essence of who we are, or just completely different. Like who I was last week is not the same woman I am this week. So our wombs are bleeding. We go through ovulation. Like we're moving. We're just constantly like riding these waves, and we need this grounding, this presence. So Simba, did that help answer the question?
Yeah, it definitely did. And it really brought out more aspects of something I saw in myself a while ago, but also working with other men and couples. I don't really work with couples normally, but I winded up doing it naturally for some reason now, that both parts doesn't know this. The guy goes into, you know, there's a frustration. Why can't you just tell me what I need to do and fix? Why do you give me all this attitude and all of these things? And it becomes this animosity, and the woman might not know, you know, this is what I'm looking for, because she's coming from a trauma. And I just see the clash. And that's really what I go in with, the grounding, and really allow people to be in the body and speak from their needs. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense what you said. But that's definitely a dynamic I see, that neither of the parties know about this many times. Maybe they know intuitively, but they can't really articulate it. And then you can't help each other if you don't really know what you want, and you can't receive it either.
Yeah. Especially, and that's exactly it. It's like the trauma shows up. And I think that I've been having like a lot of conversations with women recently around conscious relationships. And there's like, like we see online how conscious relationships are supposed to look. And I would say we're in a pretty conscious relationship, but we're not. First of all, my husband doesn't have social media, so he's very off. But you know, for me, it's just like, it's being willing to show your trauma, like being willing to be vulnerable enough to like present your trauma to the other person. But in conscious relationships, like your traumas are constantly kind of rubbing up against each other. And I think that our souls have chosen our partners for that reason, because it creates these dynamics of healing. And now we're kind of in a culture where it's easier to leave. It's easier to be out of the relationship. It's easier to disconnect in some way. And I think the real conscious work is like staying in it and, you know, healing. If both parties are willing and able and open to that, like healing the trauma and like staying in the relationship and working. I mean, us coming back together was one of the most healing journeys ever. And you know, for us, it was also the fact that we do have a daughter and we, you know, have a family, and that family dynamic is so important to ensure, you know, that she has two healthy, happy, loving parents. And for us, like our love was so strong that we were able to heal some of these things that, you know, were disconnecting us, and also have like this grand vision of what we desire our family to look like. But I feel like relationships aren't easy. Like you're meeting someone, you're literally dating a child. Like you're dating unhealed parts of this person. And oftentimes it's the little boy, it's the little girl. And then your little boy, your little girl comes out, and you guys are just like kids on a playground bickering. And it's just like, okay, we got to come in, do the work, come back into body. What are the needs? Exactly like you said, what are the needs that aren't being met right now? You know, and it takes responsibility on both ends. Like you cannot, and I think that this is where frustration can lie, is like, A, you can't force someone to heal. You're not responsible for another person's healing. And you have to take responsibility for yourself as well. So it's like three parts of that, of like in a relationship, you're responsible for yourself. You're not responsible for that other person. And you have to like have clear communications, expectations, and boundaries that if they're unwilling to do the work, then maybe that's not the right relationship for you, you know? Mm.
What I'm noticing is that the woman is so much in her masculine because she's in survival mode. And sometimes the masculine doesn't. So it's two forces that are just, it's just creating havoc, because there's two masculine energies. And, you know, not all people are aware of how this works and can see and know what to expect. As Simba said, they might know intuitively that something is up, but they don't know exactly and they can't articulate it. But what I feel is that then when the woman starts to heal, all of this comes up, so it can be a little bit turbulent, and sometimes the man doesn't know exactly what to do, as this, hence the question from Simba. And what I found so interesting is that our space is evolving into Simba and Mark doing a lot of the healing work. And I was thinking, like, but wait, if we're going to focus only on women, shouldn't it be other women doing the work? And then I was like, a little bit like, how does this work? Like, how is this connected? And now I understand, well, I've been understanding for a while that the masculine is supposed to hold the feminine, and also this like structured programming that has happened of the mistrust towards the masculine. And I feel it because I'm healing that so deeply right now. Then that's part of it, being held by the masculine, holding space, guiding, and allowing that to happen can sometimes be feeling more safe, like not doing it within the relationship, but doing it with another masculine energy, so that part of us can feel that trust again and know that, okay, so it's more, because I love what we said in the beginning, because it's not only the trauma of this lifetime, it's like the world trauma, the generational trauma. So it's more than just what we think or believe. And then that role plays in so beautifully to be held, to kind of purge it all in one go, so to speak.
I think that, you know, like, that's the thing, is it is so healing for women to experience a safe man, especially as they're learning to de-armor and soften. And, you know, we'll always have polarity. So what you were saying with, like, the relationships with, and it kind of goes back to that relationship with wealth and money, is if you're in hyperdrive of your masculine and you're trying to control the dynamics of wealth and money and how it's going to come in, like, that's so masculine, you know, instead of just like trusting the process, like trusting that it's going to flow. The flow of money is going to be so sporadic at that point. It's going to be like very feminine. It's not going to be like this clear direction of coming into your bank account and having that safety and stability. So the same thing happens in relationships, where if women are like hyper and they're masculine, polarity is going to happen naturally. The law of polarity is the universal law. It's going to happen naturally. You're going to find yourself in a man that probably has no direct, with a man that probably has no direction, lack of purpose, no drive, right? Is very in their feminine and flowy. And it's just going to create like a big energy of distrust and frustration and all of that. So I think that it's beautiful what you're doing at the retreat center of having that masculine support with women, because again, it changes the experience. And to heal trauma, you have to shift the experience. And you have to retrain the body to see that it's actually safe to be in presence. It's safe to be vulnerable with a man. It's safe to be met, to be in session, to share your deepest trauma and your wounds, and to be met by the masculine man and with love and understanding. And I can like feel Simba's energy. It's probably very like, I see you. And like that within itself, I have chills. Like that within itself is just so nourishing to the spirit of the feminine, so nourishing for her. You know, so I think it's beautiful.
I mean, the more Simba steps into his healing and his power and his groundedness, and I think the one of the biggest things in this conversation for me personally within my relationship is that you put into words how it feels and how the flow is, and the masculine role is to just allow that like eruption to happen, and not be shaken by that and not taking it personally, and just literally holding the space.
Yeah,
that's it's amazing. And the more Simba steps into his ability to do that, the more I can heal. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful dynamic.
And it kind of feels like people know it already. What you said, like the wounded child comes out in the dynamics between people. One of my teachers explained this, like if a child is crying and is sad, you will take care of it, right? You will give it love and affection, and you will transmute that feeling into compassion, acceptance. They will gain something else from it. But once we look at an adult body, we're so conditioned to think, you're out of it, you're an adult now, you're supposed to be on your own, but we have no idea what experiences they have. So I see this interaction become very strong in relationships too, that people don't really understand what's going on. And once again, if I don't know what's going on, if I have a trauma, I probably don't remember it. And I just see this dynamic play out all over again, but we already know what to do with it, you know, just to be there and hold it and loving and kind.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what's interesting? So it's really fascinating. The way that we parent our daughter is with a lot of love and compassion. We're not perfect. 4-year toddlers are very intense, especially my daughter. She has my spirit. So she's very spirited, and she has a strong yes and no, I'll say, right? So it's challenging at times. But the way that we parent her is really trying to meet her where she's at and understand she's 4. She, you know, she feels an emotion, she acts on the emotion. She feels anger, she throws something. She feels frustrated, she wants our attention. She's going to come up and, you know, hey, pay us attention, like pay me attention, right? So many of us weren't given what we needed. So our little girl, our little boy doesn't know how to actually meet those emotions, which is, I think, where like that friction lies. And I think that that's where the confusion around what our needs are, because we were raised in homes where it's don't cry. I was raised a lot with don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about. Okay, so that means that, you know, my tears, if I cry, if I express myself, something's bad's going to happen, right? So it's like we're raised with these patterns of like, and I see it too, because not every parent that we meet is raising their children in that way of like, you know, I've witnessed parents, and I used to nanny as well, where like I witnessed parents where they, you know, really dismiss a child's feelings and their emotions and negated them. And it's quite confusing for a child because they only know what they see as true. So what they're perceiving is that my emotions, my experience isn't true. It's not valid. So that's a lot of where like the reparenting and the somatic experiencing comes in, of compassion and love and meeting that inner child where they're at and giving them that, you know, safety and nourishment and love, and just witnessing of like, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you're sad. I'm so sorry that you felt unseen or unheard, and like being able to like have this somatic experience of, I see you, I'm here for you, I'm like hugging you, you know? And it's so interesting because I don't know if it's like this all over the world, but especially in the US, it's like there's such a deep conditioning and there's such a pattern of like, as quickly as possible, make the kids independent. Mm-hmm. Get them out of the house. Like, they shouldn't need mommy. My daughter is very, I mean, I pick her up every day. She's very clingy. She comes into our bed most nights, snuggles. I usually like lay with her until she falls asleep every night. Like, there is a very, she has a very secure attachment because she has attachment to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason why people have anxious and avoidant attachments and these insecure attachment styles is because they weren't given the opportunity to create attachment with their caregivers. So they've never like had that experience of regulation. And I don't know, it's just something that my husband and I always talk about of like, you know, because people will, they'll say things like that. I breastfed her until she was 18 months. She self-weaned. She decided when she was done, I would have gone as long as she needed me to. And, you know, like I'll have people say, like, you still baby her. I'm like, she's a baby. She's only been on this planet for 4 years. She's extremely smart. She's, you know, independent when she needs to be. Her capacity for independence is small. She likes mommy and daddy, but like she is four, you know, she goes to school. She thrives at school. She has friendships. She, like, you know, is very outgoing. You meet her, she'll just be your best friend. Like, she speaks to everyone and is very outgoing, but she has a very secure attachment with us. And I feel like it's just, it's so fascinating, like, how we just, like, push kids out as soon as possible. And I think it's a bit detrimental to the child and then to us as adults, because we're like, what do we do with all these emotions? And, you know, and then we try to go into romantic relationships and we're like, I don't know how to handle myself. And now I'm handling like these emotions within this experience. And this is just too much. It's overwhelming.
I mean, if you don't have that close intimacy relationship with your parents, how are you going to create a close intimate relationship with someone else if you don't know how to do that? If you don't know what that feels like? And
yeah.
I think it's so interesting because this is the nervous system, right, on so many levels. It's yeah. like you're talking about your experience with parenting, but this is also what we see with the people, the grown people that come to our space. They are yeah. going through what they didn't have when they grew up. So it is something that if we don't give it to people, to the small people, you know, they will need it when they become big people. So it's this relationship and it's all the nervous system. So if we don't feel safe, and Gabor Mate speaks a lot about this, you know, the allowing the children to cry it out and things like that. It doesn't feel good. It's damaging to the nervous system. It creates unsafety in the nervous system. And then until we heal that, it is in the nervous system. So yeah. it's on so many levels, like what we don't give or what we don't get as children, we need to heal as adults.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that Absolutely. Goes straight into the intimacy, the relationship between the feminine and the masculine, the ability to receive money. It's just... So it all starts like early in the nervous system and creates like a loop.
Yeah.
And then we give it to the next generation.
Yeah. Well, I think it's ending. I feel like we're like ending these cycles and these loops and these patterns. And I think that this is where women play like such a big role in this, and like the feminine rising is because, yes, the children of the world need fathers, and we need present fathers and that masculine support, but we need really well-nourished mothers, and we need mothers that are taken care of, and we need mothers that are connected to their body and trust themselves. And we've talked about this, Sarah. There's a lot at play when it comes to raising babies in this world. There's a lot of things that are given to children to disrupt their natural beings. And I think that when you don't trust yourself as a woman, and even as, you know, a man, when you don't trust yourself, you're very susceptible to allowing infiltration and just these things to happen. So I think that, like, for me, I mean, it started when I like very openly said to a Western, she said she was a midwife, so it was like a very Western, like, nurse practitioner midwife. She told me, you'll never be able to have a baby outside of the hospital. And I said, why? And she said, it just doesn't work that way. You can't have a baby outside of the hospital. And I said, okay, I will. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with me or the baby. I'm healthy. I was like 28. I'll be fine. And I had to go and find, and we moved from Denver to Tampa. And I found a beautiful midwifery with women that were there to support that vision and to support, you know, this birth that I was desiring, that was, you know, outside of the hospital in a space that felt safe. I think it's so funny because literally, I don't think Justin said a single thing when I was in labor. He literally just held the space. He was just there, like holding me there when I needed him. Such a masculine anchor. But it was the women that birthed, that helped me birth that baby out into the world. It was my midwife that came to me, and I bring this into every aspect of my business. It was my midwife that came to me. I was deep in labor. My daughter turned, so I had intense back labor for about 8 to 9 hours. And there was no medication. I mean, I felt it all. I was in and out of consciousness. I was in the water, out of the water. And she came to me and she said, "You have to surrender. You're fighting your baby. You're fighting the contractions." And I was in such a space of survival. I was in such a space of wanting to control how this was supposed to look and the out. And I was terrified. I had never touched my yoni in any way other than just to like get off. And she said, "Check your cervix. Like, you have to check to see if the baby's coming." And I was terrified. And like, so much that birth experience just like ripped me wide open, as the feminine does. And I leaned back in the water and all my contractions for however long stopped. And I just felt the presence, and I saw, you know, Mary, Mother Mary and Yeshua and like the presence of God. And I told Elliot, I said, "I'm ready for you. Like, now's the time, I'm ready." And she came through. And, you know, and I bring that into, you know, the moments in business where it feels sticky and I don't know where the next client's going to come from, or mid-launch, I'm like, "What's happening?" Or, you know, whatever, like, I bring that in to everything that I create, that I don't have to be in control. I don't have to know the how. The feminine births through surrender. She creates through surrender. The cervix will open, the portal will open, and whatever I desire will come through. So I think like that's like the big essence and the bridge of the womb, of like anything that we desire as women will come through when we learn how to soften, when we learn how to surrender, when we just learn how to trust, just trust and let it happen.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even know what to respond to that. That was beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is a lovely conversation.
Yeah, thank you. It's beautiful to hear.
Yeah, we've gone for an hour. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Do you have any final questions, Simba?
Yeah, when you're saying surrender, I always think acceptance. That's the first word that comes up to me. I know there's, you know, for someone that's in fight or flight, and when they hear surrender, they're like, "That's just going to make it worse." Yeah. And I said, "Well, it's more accepting, you know, it's not that you give up, accept where you're at so you can work with it. And okay, I'm tense because this has happened, this is how I feel. And if you ever want to come out of it, you need to accept it. You can't fight where you're at." It's kind of like where you say, you're giving labor and you're like, "No. Don't want to."
Yeah.
You need to accept it. You know, you can't fight that. Otherwise,
I literally had a point. I was like, "Just cut her out of me, take me to the hospital."
Yeah.
And they're like, "That's not what you want, you know?" Yeah. And that's exactly it. I love that. That's actually medicine for me. So I'm going to digest that acceptance. It's beautiful.
It's amazing because my mother is a midwife, and so she talks about having her explain how the midwife, the baby and the mother works together, and the body is truly amazing what she describes. And she says that the quicker the woman can connect to her primal, that's when, and let go of how it looks, how it's perceived, anything else, like to connect or go only through into the body, she says that's when the magic starts to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Birth is so primal. It's so interesting because my nervous system was so shocked that like my hair went curly. And I mean, I was definitely not like an Instagram influencer with like makeup done or anything like that. I was very, and actually I lost my voice for like 3 days after because I let out such deep, like primal, you know, releases to open up the cervix fully so she could come out.
Yeah, that's what she says.
That throat cervix connection.
Yeah, that's what she says, when you can really connect to that primal sounds. So it's interesting when you said it's that the womb is connected to the throat. And
I think all roads of the feminine body lead to the throat. There's the Balmoa line, which is in Chinese medicine, the heart-womb connection. Mm. And it's the only connection point that can't be manipulated by external forces. Mm. So it requires the inner work of a woman to heal. And the womb-heart connection is like our pulse. And they say that the cervix is the heartbeat of, you know, the womb, or of the womb. So I just like, for me, it's just like all roads lead back to the womb. And I work with so many women where they've done all this work. And I'm like, I think you share that one of your teachers said that like the missing piece is the womb work.
Yeah.
And it just does, it like ties it all together. It just, I want to say it in a nice little bow, but it's a little bit of a, like, you know, messy bow. You become a more expressed, more abundant, more alive woman. So eventually there's a pretty bow, but you're still a little wild.
I mean, he said that to me years ago and I didn't understand it. He said, you need to connect to the womb. That's the way to go. And I can't help you with that because I don't have one. So you need to find someone else to do that for you. But that's what you need to do.
Yeah. I do believe, I think that womb work, just like birth work, like I'm a firm believer that birth work is women's work. So I do think in many aspects, womb work is women's work just because it is that experience. And I think that, I think it brings back the sacredness of it. It brings back the community and the circle. And just like with birth, like I had women around me. I mean, I had the presence of Justin there holding the space, but it was the women that looked me in the eyes and reminded me, you know, it was my doula that looked me in the eyes and like said, you're doing it, like you're in it, this is it. Mm. You know, so it's just like there's something very tender about that. I think it heals the sisterhood wound in such a beautiful way. We're not competing, it's just, we're just women womb to womb, heart to heart with one another. So
yeah, that's what I see also in what's happening, that the women are coming together in the sisterhood where there's no competition, there's no jealousy or trying to become better than the other, or it's more connecting and supporting each other and celebrating each other and trusting the self and surrendering to whatever, that we're different, you know, that there's space for all of us.
Yeah. That's the shift. Women. I love that.
Yeah. All right, Lauren. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my love. Thank you, Simba, for having me.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
So where do people find you?
So I'm most present on Instagram at I am Lauren Megan, and you can connect with me there. And I essentially have two pathways to work with me. I have my feminine body-based mastermind called Womb-Led CEO, and then I have a feminine mystery school where I teach women how to facilitate this work if they desire, or just to have the deeper embodiment of the hands-on womb and yoni work. And it is that bridge of like the spiritual aspects. So I teach a lot on the priestess lineage of Isis and Mary Magdalene, that rose, the red thread, and in connection to the woman yoni work. So it's a 9-month initiation and it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been
It's
been such a pleasure having you, and I'm so happy to have you in my life, and that I came, that we crossed paths, and that I had the honor to work with you, and I will continue to work with you as well in the future. So, Yeah. Looking forward to.
I love you so much.
Yeah, I love you too. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.